This is Marketplace. I'm Amy Scott. I know, some of you grill all year round, but in some parts, today marks the unofficial start of barbecue season, and a relatively new class of alternative meat is vying for a space on the grill. There are two main competitors, you may have noticed. Beyond Meat is available at grocery stores like Whole Foods. Meanwhile, Impossible Foods markets mainly to restaurants. Kenji Lopez Alt has tested both. He's chief culinary consultant at Serious Eats, and he serves an Impossible Meat product at his restaurant Wursthall in San Mateo, California. Kenji, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Suddenly, I feel like I'm seeing these two brands everywhere, Beyond and Impossible. I actually counted, and there are four places that serve Impossible burgers just within a few blocks of each other in this neighborhood in Baltimore called Hamden. Of course, White Castle just started selling Impossible sliders. What's going on?
Well, I think a lot of it is because it starts with, I think, people who are sort of environmentally conscious or conscious of animal ethics. You know, just raising livestock is very bad for the land. It has a very large carbon footprint. So I think a lot of people are trying to find ways to reduce their impact. And I'm not just talking about vegetarians and vegans. I'm talking about omnivores who typically eat a lot of meat but want to cut down on their day-to-day meat consumption. And what's going on, I think, is that technology is sort of finally catching up with those needs. And so these are the first two companies that really have like a strong consumer product available now.
And what's different about them than like the Garden Burger or the Morningstar patty that some of our listeners might have had?
Well, the real difference is just that they're much more similar to real meat. In particular, the Impossible Burger, which currently is not available retail to consumers, but is available at restaurants. They use a protein called heme, H-E-M-E, which is what gives real meat its sort of irony blood flavor. And they found a plant-based source for that, and it's also red. It looks very much like a real burger, like real hamburger. And the product is versatile enough that you can use it in, you know, not 100% as a replacement for ground beef, but you can use it in almost any sort of ground beef application, whether that's a burger or a meatloaf or meatballs. I've even seen it used as vegan beef tartare.
So full disclosure, I don't eat meat. In fact, I think the last actual hamburger I had was a McDLT, if that tells you how long ago that was. Do they mimic meat enough that folks who still like to eat meat would be satisfied?
So in certain situations, the applications where I think it works best are when it's made into sort of thinner patties and where it's seasoned either with toppings or with other, you know, other ingredients mixed in. So in certain cases, I think it can be a very, very close approximation, although in other cases, you're going to notice a difference.
These companies have attracted some pretty big investors, including Bill Gates and companies like Tyson and Cargill. Mm-hmm. What's the bet here?
Well, I think the bet is that, well, there's not really a bet as to what's going to happen with meat production in the future. We are going to have to find alternatives to meat production simply because our taste for meat is growing, and at the rate at which the human population is growing, is just unsustainable. So whether that means, you know, finding alternatives or using technology to help us grow meat more efficiently. There are companies, for instance, that are working on lab grown meat, which has a couple of advantages. First of all, you know, it doesn't require living animals to produce.
I got to stop you there. Lab grown meat. I hesitated to even bring that up because it's so some people may find it a little gross. So tell me how this works. Meat is actually grown in a lab with no animal required.
Correct. Well, there isn't an animal required at the start. So they start with animal stem cells that are taken from animals. So it's taken from a steer. But once they have those stem cells, they can grow meat in petri dishes. You know, they grow it layer by layer. So at some point in the future, it will be very possible that hamburgers and steaks and chicken breasts and all those things are going to be grown in a lab. And while I think, you know, to the current generation of adults and young adults, that might seem weird or even gross, newer generations that grow up with the technology have a very different feeling about whether it's normal or not.
All right. Kenji Lopez Alt is chief culinary consultant at Serious Eats and author of the book The Food Lab, Better Home Cooking Through Science. Kenji, thanks.
Thank you for having me.
Best veggie burger I ever had was at a now defunct place in L.A. called Mo' Better Meaty Meat Burgers and tasted nothing like meat. So go figure.